So I'm going to be talking about, I think in terms of continuity, we've heard about social influences on illness and the material world, and I'm going to talk about the influence of culture on experiences, the what it feels like to have depression, and I'm going to try and really flesh that out. So to give a background, what I will be talking about is part of my PhD project, Phenomenology of Depression. I think we already know what that is. And I'm taking a cross-cultural approach. So the kind of questions that I'm asking is, how do experiences of depression vary across cultures, and how can we account for this variation in terms of culture and dominant modes of interpreting and encountering different phenomena? And I'm comparing experiences of depression in Iran and the UK. So the UK part of the research was done by Matthew Ratcliffe and others at Durham a few years ago. And there's a qualitative questionnaire which I adapted for my research, translated into Farsi, distributed to patients in Iran, and you'll see the results of it. So any numbered quotes that you see are responses from the questionnaire. And I'm going to focus on two particular symptoms. So I had in total about 40-something responses. And out of those, the important thing that I want to point out is the few instances where people complain about feeling of sadness, and the high frequency of people talking about hopelessness and meaninglessness and absurdity of life. So I will talk about sadness and then move on to hopelessness and absurdity. Right. And I should mention that I will mainly be focusing on religion and literature as two pillars of Iranian culture. So sadness and conceptions of life. There are very few existing literature on depression in Iran, and they emphasize the role of sadness in Iranian culture as a valued sense and as a pervasive force that governs the everyday mood of the society. But I think what this characterization misses is the fact that the attitude taken towards sadness in Iranian culture is itself a consequence of the way life itself is conceptualized in Iranian culture. As a fight between forces of good and evil, and where meaningful sadness is not just valued, but is seen as inevitable. So I'm going to talk about that. Firstly, talking about Shiism. So Shiism is the official religion of Iran, and it also comprises the most widely held system of beliefs in Iran. And there are various ceremonies that kind of bring about the belief system in the public domain. I don't want to overlook the celebratory nature of some of these ceremonies, but by and large they're aimed at grieving and commemorating the lost lives of the religious figures. Importantly, sadness in these events is not just about the loss of a single person, but it has a more encompassing meaning, and it aims to honor the ongoing fight between good and evil and the sacrifices made in the course of this fight. So most important of these is the ceremonies of Ashura and the death of Imam Hussein, who is the third Imam of Shia Muslims. A tale of the Battle of Karbala is told and retold in these ceremonies, whether it takes the form of stage performance or, more frequently, big ceremonies where people hear the tale of the sacrifices whilst weeping and beating their chests and crying. So now, to an outsider observing these phenomena, it could be said that they signify a public display of sadness with large numbers of people participating in it. It could be said that this sadness is static in nature. It's a personally felt sadness that is always ready to be made public. But what is more important than this, I would say, is the emphasis that is placed on the fight between good and evil in these ceremonies. So there is the remembrance of the bravery and the values that were held by the Imam and his followers, and the willingness on their part to die for these values. So the Battle of Karbala is the ultimate representation of what Iranians take to be the very essence of life itself, as a fight to be fought. And Hossein, as one of the most adhered to role models for Shia Iranians, encompasses and represents the good person fighting this fight and suffering inevitable pain in his efforts to be on the side of good and the just. So in that sense, the annual ceremonies commemorating this battle are reminders of the injustices and evil of the world, and the fact that being good is inevitably accompanied by feelings of sadness and suffering. Similar themes as religious ceremonies can be seen in Persian literature, religious and secular alike. There are epic stories of tragedies of loss and grief, injustice and war, which constitute the main body of these works. So, for example, one of the most important works of literature in Iran, the Book of Kings or the Shahnameh, revisits ancient Persian mythologies dealing with the issues of the fight between forces of good and evil. But instead of having these forces in the form of gods, there are mortal human beings fighting these fights. So different stories in this book deal in different ways with same themes. I want to just give a brief example of one of those stories, which is the story of death of Siavash, who was an innocent and righteous warrior. And he falls victim to jealousy of others and falls victim to an elaborate plot that ends with him being killed. And the account that follows from that is not only concerned with the grief of loss of an innocent person, but it also deals with the fact that there are evils in this world, and if you are a good person, it is inevitable that you will suffer and find sadness in the course of your fight. Similarly, in the literature of 20th century, similar themes are dealt with, but in different contexts. So, for example, The Blind Owl deals with individually felt sadness in the face of an unjust society, a society that doesn't want to accommodate for someone trying to be good. And it deals in different ways with sadness and the blurry line between what is pathological and what is normal, expected, and inevitable. So I think given these, sadness in Iranian culture is seen as an inevitable part of life necessary to the pursuit of good. And in this sense, Iranians tend to distinguish what they experience in depression from normal sadness. So people say things like, depression is very different to other forms of sadness. They have a clear reason or meaning, and in depression, one gets confused and loses the reason of why one is sad. So the emphasis here I want to emphasize is the fact that meaningful sadness is valued and seen as inevitable. And then kind of going to the next part, it is in depression, it is that very sense of meaningfulness of life and the sadness that one is made to endure that is lost. So, as I mentioned, and as you saw in the bar charts, hopelessness and absurdity are among the most complained about symptoms or characteristics of depression as felt by Iranians. And this is connected with the meaning-centered understanding of life, but also with the links with the relationship that Iranians have with death itself. And I want to talk about that, what I mean about relationship with death. which again can be seen in works of literature and in religious teachings, but also historical events. And I want to start with a big historical event that has had a massive influence, I think, on the way people in Iran relate to death. So the Iran-Iraq War, which took place between 1980 and 88, has had a considerable impact on the way Iranians relate to death. And this is, I think, for multiple reasons. First is the wide-ranging immediate effects of war. So thousands were killed, even more were left with lifelong injuries, and people who were taken hostage, and 5 million people were displaced. But also there was another point, is that Iran saw a population boom during the war. And what that means is that a large part of the population in Iran now either were born or had a large part of their childhood during the war. And the trauma and the memories of war continue to be part of the collective consciousness of this generation, and in various instances actually form part of the way this generation expresses their identity. So the kind of event was, for example, the sound of sirens warning people of airstrikes, and they continue to be in the memory of people. But also another aspect is the official discourse around war, which not only aims to keep the memories of war alive, but also attempts to sanctify the horrors of war. So the stories of those who were killed was made into mandatory courses and curricula at schools. Giant murals of those who were killed are put on highways, and they stay. They're there still to the present day. And also, it is never a war, but a holy defense. And those who were killed are not casualties, but are martyrs. Apart from all of these, the trauma of war continues to haunt, not only for families whose loved ones were never found, the remains of them never returned home, and for these people, loss has become a timeless phenomenon, but also more nationally. So people continue to lose their lives in minefields that remain to be fully cleared. In 2015, the bodies of around 200 divers who had been taken hostage was found and returned to their families after 30-odd years. And as recently as September 2017, the remains of a boy who was killed in the war was finally returned to their families. So this all goes to show that loss and the effects of war are very much alive in Iran. And I think the influence of that is in the way that people relate to death itself, as something that is always near and always looming, and in a way goes beyond the existential concerns with death that any human being, regardless of the society or the culture in which they reside, deal with in their lives. But as I said, this culture of death consciousness is not just limited to this historical event, but goes back centuries to works of literature and religious teachings in Iran. So I think in that sense there are two strands of the death conscious culture. One is religious teachings and religious works of literature, and another one is the more recent secular ways of thinking about it. So the quotes that you see there are from Nahj al-Balagha, which is letters and sermons that are attributed to Ali, the first Imam of Shia Muslims. In these texts, death and remembrance of death is encouraged as a means to being good and leading a good life. Death is conceptualized as a gateway to a more permanent, more long-lasting life, the state of which would be decided by the way one acts and is in the world today. Therefore, kind of reminders like anticipate your death by good actions, prepare yourself for death, is is as a means of encouraging people to be good. Similar line of thought is in religious works of poetry in the 12th century by mostly mystic traditions. Again, you have a similar idea of death, but what is, I think, highlighted and important here is the association of all worldly suffering with death itself. So just as death is inevitable, so is suffering in the world, which goes back to the conception of life as a fight to be fought. More recently, in the works of secular literature of the 20th century, the relationship with death is framed in terms of social and political dissatisfaction with life, and even hatred of life. So, for example, here you have a poem by Akhavan Salis, who says of life that I spit on its face and I damn its meaning. Or I kind of take shelter from life and turn to the enemy, which is death. And what is, I think, interesting here is that death is seen as a desirable endpoint, the only possible escape from the difficulties and injustices of life. And the focus is more on the here and now rather than a yearning for a good, infinite future. So what does this have to do with depression? As I mentioned at the beginning, loss of hope and absurdity are among the most frequent complaints. Hopelessness is such a fundamental part of the experience of depression in Iran that people define depression itself in terms of hopelessness. So, for example, people saying, in my opinion, depression is the feeling of hopelessness and despair, which causes one to be incapable of doing the normal daily tasks. And this hopelessness, I think, is linked with the conception of life. The sense of dissatisfaction with life and the feeling of being a victim, as is felt in depression, can be thought of as an expression of realizing the unfair fight of life that one is made to endure. And in that sense, depression is seen as a logical endpoint once one realizes the nature of this fight as inherently unfair. And also with the transformation that one goes through in depression, changing the way one sees themselves and the world in which they reside, any hope for change is lost. The very possibility of envisioning a different scenario, a different future, is lost. And that is the very hope that up until that point would have fueled the ongoing fight, which is life, forward. So people say, I see the world as uncertain, full of hopelessness and despair. And this kind of hopelessness brings into question the very meaning of life. And the hopelessness of change and moving forward and improvement, this is the impossibility that Iranian patients suffering from depression are faced with. So the world has no meaning for me, and I'm not hopeful about life. This, I think, links back to the sense of absurdity that Iranian patients talk about. And I think it's important to note a linguistic point about what I have translated as absurdity. So the word used by Iranian patients is pooch or poochi. And among the dictionary definitions of it are hollow, empty, futile, nothingness, nonsensical, lacking in meaning. And in this sense, I think what Iranian patients are talking about in talking about a sense of absurdity is the way that they see the world that they're in and the way and the place of themselves in that world. And in this sense, the link with hopelessness becomes clear because they're both rooted in conceptualizations of life. But what the sense of absurdity emphasizes is the sense of defeat and meaninglessness of the fight. And I think I want to really emphasize the... the point about meaninglessness. Because, as I mentioned, when life itself is understood as a fight to be fought, sadness is not only seen as inevitable, but that sadness finds its meaning through the fight that is life. So when the meaning is lost, then the sadness becomes problematic. So it is meaningless sadness that becomes the important part of the experience. And in this sense, maybe, whilst sadness is seen as the hallmark of depression in the UK, in Iran, it's more about the meaningless sadness and the sense of absurdity that is brought about by this loss of meaning, by the very understanding of life being under question, that is complained about by Iranian patients. On the other hand, in the emphasis placed on hopelessness, consciousness of death, I think, plays a central role. Because in that sense, death itself is highlighted as the ultimate inescapable end. So that any motivation and any hope for change is lost, any attempt for one to try to fight and hope for improvement is lost, because one can never win the ultimate fight with death. And this note then brings into question again the whole meaning of why should I try to improve myself? What is the point of seeking help? This is just how it is, and I can never win. I might finish a bit earlier than I expected. Yes. So what I have kind of hoped to show here is that there is variation in experiences between different cultures, which can be accounted for by the cultural conceptions of what is life, what is considered to be valuable, and how one ought to be in relation to other people, in relation to the world that they reside in. And in this sense, I think when you look at culture as a framework through which people understand the phenomenon that they encounter and interpret their experiences in terms of the system of meaning that is structured by the cultural values and norms, it has an undeniable influence on the way people experience it. And in that sense, what I want to emphasize is that when we talk about phenomenological accounts of illness, it is always important to have culture as a backdrop against which all of the experiences find meaning and find significance should be acknowledged. So it might be that in phenomenological accounts, we tend to talk about the structures of the way we think and intentionality and our consciousness, which are thought to be universal everywhere by virtue of us being human beings. And I think what my research kind of shows is the fact that all of these structures themselves find meaning within the context of culture, society, and the historical events and the collective consciousness of people within that culture. Thank you.